Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. I know a lot of you really think that gay is sin. But you see, there's going to be a consequence to this. Israel is a nation. Long time ago, you know, Jesus came here to die on the cross. And the nation of Israel as a whole didn't accept this. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. As we read the Bible, we find out that God gave them blindness for a season, but they wouldn't be able to really recognize their Messiah until the last days. So there is a period of time coming up pretty soon now, because we're getting pretty close to the last days, that suddenly a lot of Jewish people, a lot of the people that are Israelis, are suddenly going to recognize that Jesus, after all, what he was and is their Messiah. It'll happen in a moment. They will see whom they pierced. This is what the Bible tells us. Well, there's something else that has happened. You see, this is a feature. Just like when Adam and Eve, ate the apple, God booted them out of the Garden of Eden, and he did something. He put a curse on them. He put a curse on the ground. He made it so that when we work, and we have to work, there's no easy way to make a living as it was in the Garden of Eden. God put a curse on the ground so that we have to work really hard, get frustrated and all that kind of stuff, and really, really work hard. And we always have to work and work and work and work and keep on working to earn a living. And we often give ourselves praises or others praises on how well they work. Oh, this is a really hard worker, really good worker. Well, this is a curse that put on the land. Originally, this wasn't the case. We weren't supposed to be working for a living. The living was provided. The Garden of Eden, you had your food. You had your comfortable ways of living, You didn't have to worry about, as it were, shelter or clothing or anything else or material items or something. All of this kind of stuff was basically supplied, and the living conditions was really good until Adam and Eve got booted. And so something happened in a couple of different things. God did something to the ground and to the sky and all the earth surface and various parts of it, which made it difficult because we needed the food and now it wasn't provided. So we got to make our own and find our own food. We got to hunt. We got to grow things and go out and search for maybe where there might be something growing that we can pick, and on and on and on. Life became difficult because God did something, and he also did something to the woman. He made it hurt to have babies. And he did something else. He made it so man would think the woman is inferior. And so the man's whole concept about woman is he's the boss. And so from that day to this day, man is thinking that they're superior, no matter how good a qualities many men are and how much they respect the woman and consider her equal and so forth and so on. They're fighting a losing battle, as it was. It's all that many men can do is to maintain some kind of mutual ground with the curse that's on them and on women to make them think that women is inferior. Now, God did this. He said, I put a curse on you. That the man would feel like he needs to dominate, to subjugate the woman. Read it. I mean, we have some idea of why we have this problem. Then we can maybe deal with it a little bit better. Some things God does. He hardens Pharaoh's heart. I mean, it's a terrible thing. Who wouldn't let the people go? But God hardened his heart. You see, God knows about genes and DNA and the blueprint. He can do a lot of kind of stuff. He can insert programming and he can do lots of stuff, you know, whenever he wants. But he does it for a purpose. You see, the word rib in the Bible means cell from that rib, including DNA, genes, chromosomes, so forth and so on. God made all this kind of stuff, and he can go in and edit it. Today, we're trying to edit it. And we're having some success. We can actually clone some things. And there's some things we don't know about they're doing. And in the past, people do kinds of stuff to kind of control the outcome of humans or other animals and plants. And God did some things. Hardened hearts. Made the whole nation of Israel have a problem. And their problem is not any reason or another for any particular person born or having kind of evil thoughts or good thoughts or anything. It's just a blanket thing. If you're a natural Hebrew of the 12 tribes, then you're going to have this problem. It's not a choice. It's not you go through court and God decides who should have it and who shouldn't. It's just a blanket thing. Many Israelis, Hebrew people, that are of the 12 tribes, overcome some of these things. It takes a process and they become Christians. We have all kinds of names for how to describe this kind, you know, completed Jew and all kinds of stuff to say ones that have made it through. It was an easy process because God wrote a program and said all of these people are going to have this problem, and the problem is they're going to think that Jesus is not the Messiah. And then, guess what? In a moment, God's going to delete that program or put in the ability to see, as it were. Right now, it's cut off. They can't jump the gap. And whatever it is that God's going to do, possibly it's really in the DNA, and it's actually a programming issue that before, you know, programmers and stuff and people that are running companies and everything have set different passwords to different abilities to get into different tools of company software. If you're just a lowly employee, you get a minimum selection of tools to use, and as you go up the chain to becoming the owner, you have more and more access power and more menus show up that you can access and do and edit things in the company. Well, this is what God's kind of doing. He sets to the Israelis, he clicks the dot that says give access or don't give access to these things. Recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And he checked that. No. Now, there is conditions on that there is a process that many people can figure out through a great deal of difficulty that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, this may sound all kind of funny, you know, but God happens to, you know, he said, there's not a thing that Jesus, that is made that Jesus didn't make. And then we make things from what Jesus made. And he made us, and he made our DNA, and he can program it however he likes for whatever reason. There's not magic in God. He can do it. You know? He says that eventually, if we have the time, we can learn all things, all knowledge. We ain't going to have the time to learn all knowledge, because times are going to be cut short. Coming up pretty soon here. Now, you got to understand it, because if you can't grasp some of the things, then you can't understand what's going on around here. You're just going to go ahead and believe the stuff because the programming is set that you can't see. And you don't think that there is bypasses, you know. When people are in an accident of some sort, sometimes they get paralyzed. And the doctors explain this kind of stuff to us. You know, some there's nerve damage. But the brain is pretty remarkable. It can rewire itself. We're always growing new nerve synapses, or whatever they call them, and joining together. And it's rewiring and going through a different section of a non-damaged brain, as it were. And then we find we are beginning to get use of parts that we didn't have use of before, because we have to relearn. You know, we go through physical therapy for a long time sometimes and advance from being in a wheelchair to walker, to a crutch, a cane or something. And then finally we can walk on our own and even maybe run. But it's a process of re-educating ourselves, and most of it is our brain doing it, and we just say we have willpower. We want to, we desire it, we're going to work hard at it, but our brain's doing this work and growing new endings so that we can do things, because the part it used to work to is ruined. And so, likewise, when there's a curse on it, or a thing that God says and decreed, the nation of Israel will be in blindness, doesn't mean they can't see. It means that they have to go a different route. And some of them love truth so much that they don't particularly willfully go out and seek Jesus. But in seeking truth, what do you find? You find Jesus. The more you seek true truth, the closer you get to Jesus, and you will find him. You seek truth, and truth is Jesus. And so, not necessarily seeking Jesus, but seeking truth, they find Jesus. It's a difficult path when you're under a condition, a programming that you're not authorized direct access. For the Gentile people, which is all people that are not of the natural Hebrew descent of the 12 tribes, are going to have a little bit better access, you know, they're given a little bit better access to Jesus. Now, this is not limited to just not knowing the Messiah until a moment in the last days, like the nation of Israel will do. In a moment, they will see whom they pierced. It applies to several things. Some things are not particularly known, as it were. There's some things that Daniel said, that they won't be, people won't need, no, you can't tell anybody until the last days come, when knowledge increases. And in this period of time, more access is given to us. Our password degree is updated and upgraded, so we have more access, so that we can see more about these last days and what it all means, that people, you know, a generation ago couldn't possibly know, didn't have a hope of knowing. And as we get closer and closer to that day, we get higher and higher password access. Our access level is increased. To what? To magic? No. It is actually physically set up in the DNA structure to do it. No, it's not a god of magic, though to our eyes and knowledge, abilities, and everything, we may consider it magic because it certainly looks magical to us. But we have another name for it. We call it miracle, because God can do things that seem quite miraculous. However, you can get to the bottom of that, and most of this kind of stuff, you're probably not going to know till you actually got your new spiritual body, and you can ask these questions directly and see the blueprints. And you'll have the abilities to understand the science, as it were, behind the blueprints of what God is doing. We don't make God magical. He is God, and He is your creator through Jesus Christ. And He has put blindness on you about many issues, specifically. I mean, there's a list of stuff in your DNA. Did you know that? And there's lots of dots. You know, we go online and you want to win a free thing. And so you say, you know, this time you can try it out. And so, first of all, you got to answer this page. Answer all these things. And, you know, once in a blue moon, you know, I get carried away. And I actually say, okay, I'm going to try it. You know, I can just say no to everything. And I say no to everything. And you get a couple of pages. You could just right away down this, say no. Then it gets down to where they only do one question at a time. So it takes longer. You got to know this one, you know, and say no, and so forth. And then you get to the end. And finally, the trick question comes up. You got to select one of these things to get the free thing. So eventually, all this free stuff isn't really free because you have to finally select the item you pay for, and then you can get your free stuff, possibly. And so then you just, you know, click the X up the top and get out of that screen because you ain't going to pay for anything. It's free. It's supposed to be free. But anyway, we have this kind of stuff in our DNA structure, as it were. And it may not look like our idea of computer system, but they're there. And it's something simply, you know, you could say yes to this, no to this, yes to this, no to this, and there's gobs of them. It's kind of what kind of makes up a personality and everything. And some of them, you know, is got read access only because you are you. It's not going to change. You're going to be you wherever it is that you go. If you're going to go to heaven or hell, you're going to be you. These are not changeable. It's read only. Then there's many things that are read and write, that they're attributes that we can change. You know, we can get revelations of things and say, and it changes things that we do and understand and think about, but it doesn't change as us. It's just now we have information we never had before because it was such a revealing thing, and then we react to it via our read-only files of who we are. Now, I'm trying to use this as an exact example, maybe get through to you so you can understand why that when you like to say gay is sin, you can't explain it. You use something that is describing rape in detail, and you call it, this is why gay is sin. You are saying that because Paul said pagan male temple prostitutes won't inherit the kingdom of God, you say, this makes gay sin. You say, if straight adults turn from God to other gods, They're the fertility gods, and they're in this Aphrodite temple over here that Paul went in before he wrote Romans, and he walked in this temple, and there were 1,000 temple prostitutes, orgy rooms, and there was a row of statues, and there's that statue to the unknown god that, what is it, Galatians or something, he talks about, you even have a statue to the unknown god, and he went on to preach Jesus Christ, you know, this is God. See, your mind, your DNA structure doesn't allow you to see that. So to see that gang rape or going to fertility gods, sacred temple prostitutes, is not a gay behavior. So it is going to be difficult. You can't see that straightforward. So you have to go down here, over here, maybe have some traumatic happening in your life that is a great deal of pain and sorrow. You might have to lose a loved one. I mean, sometimes it takes a really terrible tragedy before you finally could get over here and see that rape is not a gay behavior as it is. It's not a definition of gays. 630 million gays, and they're not rapists. There's always, rapist is somebody in this category. It doesn't matter your orientation. If you're a rapist, you're in this category. And that's sin. But if you're just living your own life like straight people do, boy meets girl, they date, they fall in love, and they get married. If you're just doing things like this, and maybe you're doing playing around and doing a few other kinds of stuff and everything, like what we know that straight people do, and they're in their romantic stage of their life before they find their person that they want to stay with all their life. And generally, we don't really want to box in all the ways you get to your one person, you know, what we call married yourself, which doesn't work too well. But, I mean, that's the idea, is to get to marriage. You do a lot of stuff, and so you make this as maybe minor infractions along the way to get to who you're going to. And so you don't define any of the mistakes and stuff as evil sin that's going to get you to hell. But for gay people, you seem to want to think that a description that is such detail, I mean, all the boys, all the grandpas, all the men, and all the people, and that word people in the Hebrew means men and women, all of mankind came to what? Break into pieces the two angels. I mean, you're not going to survive very well if you're broken into pieces. And somehow or another, you think this means that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were gay. Because all of the people came to rape to death two angels. And you can't bypass that. That because you can't jump the gap to where a lot of people can. They just right away see that that's gay and rape. So it's not a description of gay behavior. But you can't. The way that you can see it is you have to go around. You have to have tragedy. You have to, nobody can explain it to you. You have to hurt. You have to be in pain. You have to suffer a lot, almost. You have to be thrown into tragic situations before you can actually see around to see that gang rape is not something of a way to describe gay behavior. It's going to all be revealed soon to you, and great shaking is going to come to make you have your painful experience, as it were, so you can see clearly. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come to my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible, because Westcott and Hort is the founder of all modern versions. And get ready, people. Great shaking is coming. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week.